The Random Jottings of Hinge and Brackett with Dr. Evadne Hinge and Dame Hilda Brackett. With friends and neighbours at Stacton Trestle in The Italian Job.
In all the years that I've known Evadne, I don't think I've ever kept anything secret from her. Mind you, I've tried. But she always finds me out. The trouble is, I am too transparent, too honest. I simply cannot lie. I can evade, I can dissemble, I can circumvent. But a real whopper is beyond me. It's one of the few things I have in common with George Washington. Although I did read somewhere recently that the story about him being unable to tell a lie is quite untrue. Mind you, that might be quite untrue. Anyhow, I recently embarked on a little adventure that I had hoped to keep to myself. But when I returned home to the old man's that Monday evening in early September, Evadne immediately started asking questions.
Is that you, Hilda?
Well, if it isn't, it's someone wearing my hat.
Oh, good heavens.
Hello, dear. Had a nice day.
Where have you been?
Yes, thank you, Hilda. I've had a very nice day. What sort of day have you had?
I said, where have you been?
Out, and I'm beginning to wish I hadn't come back.
Do you have any idea what time it is?
Why, have you broken your sundial again?
It's after 7.
Well, you needn't have sat up, you know.
And what on earth time did you go out this morning?
About 8.
It must have been before 8. By the time I came down to breakfast, you'd gone.
Well, I say you are getting observant, aren't you? Anyway, what are you complaining about? I put your prunes out for you and your charcoal biscuits.
So where have you been all day?
What's it got to do with you? I don't ask you where you've been every time you come back from somewhere.
Yes, you do.
Well, if I do, you always tell me to mind my own business.
Hilda, I really couldn't care less where you've been, but I do think you might have told me you were going. Something could have happened to you, for all I knew. You might have had an accident.
If I had, I'd have rung you at once. And I did tell you. I told you yesterday.
When?
After lunch, when we were in the garden.
I don't remember that.
Obviously. No doubt because you wouldn't take your nose out of that wretched book you were reading.
I was trying to find out what to do with my gooseberries.
If you don't know by now, you never will. The trouble with you is you don't listen.
The trouble is I've become immune to your prattling. Why do you always try to tell me things when my mind's on something else? You should have left a note.
Evadne, if we are to be reduced to communicating through notes, we may as well give up attempting to communicate at all.
Anyway, what exactly is it that you're supposed to have told me yesterday afternoon?
That I was going to be out today.
And?
Well, I was, wasn't I?
Hilda, have you been drinking?
Drinking? Me? Moi? Oh, and while I remember, I've got a little present for you.
You have been drinking.
Well, just 2 teeny glasses of vino bianco. Just on the way home. And that was so that I could face you when I got back.
Back from where?
Oh, very well then, Nosy. Back from town. I've been in Bury.
All day?
Yes. Now, do you want your present or not?
Well, I don't want it if it's something I don't want. Like that musical toothbrush you brought me as a peace offering the last time you were out all day.
Oh, but that was rather fun. It played Absent Friends, didn't it? Or was it Gum, Gum, I Love You Only? Sorry.
It played The Bridges of Paris.
I won that, you know, on a hoopla stall in Nottingham. It was the ladies' leisure club outing to the Goose Fair.
And I bet that was the first time in centuries it'd seen so many honking old geese there.
That's not a very nice remark. Not a very original one either. I remember saying that at the time.
Well, are you going to give me my present or not?
Oh, I suppose you might as well have it now. I've carried it all this way. Here. I found it in that nice little second-hand bookshop in town.
What is it?
Well, what do you think it is? It's a second-hand book.
Sounds a bit more promising.
That, Evadne, is the score of The Street Singer.
Oh, very nice. Thank you, Hilda.
It's signed by the composers on the cover. There, look. H. Fraser Simpson and Ivy St. Helier.
Mm.
Let's hear some of it, shall we?
Right.
Of course, the show was first performed in 1924, you know. June 24. With Phyllis Dare and Harry Welshman at the Lyric Theatre in Shaftesbury Avenue.
What are you rattling about now?
Oh, never mind.
Well, are you going to sing or not?
Well, I can't sing the overture, dear. It doesn't have any words.
Well, let's go straight to the first song. There we are, a perfect little lady.
Well, that sounds me. Do you mind if I kick my shoes off?
As long as you don't kick them into the piano. No.
Ooh. Oh, that's better. Do you know, I've been on my feet all day.
Why?
Because it's the only bit of me I can stand on.
And where have you been standing all day?
Oh, shut up and play. There are times when I feel absolutely reckless. There are times when I feel full of sighs and groans. There are times when I like dancing to melodies and fancy with big saxophones. Oh, moaning, moaning, moaning. There are times when I like going out to supper at some restaurant where things are done in style. A cocktail weenie, a dry martini, and although I may feel dizzy after drinking something fizzy, I'm a perfect little lady for the while. By nature I am inclined to have a frivolous turn of mind. I think I pretty well know exactly how far to go, and my ways are always so refined. There are times when I feel passionate and yearning. There are times when I feel timid as can be. There are times when I feel gentle and softly sentimental and long for some man to love me, love me, love me. There are times when I'm extolling in the moonlight or to sit for half an hour upon a spire. Just titty-titty with someone meaty. If he tries too much embracing, I politely push his face in. I'm a perfect little lady all the while. Barely a wrong note.
And talking of notes, I've got a sheaf of messages here somewhere. While you were gadding, about half the village was trying to get hold of you.
Ah, well, that's what comes of being popular.
I've done nothing but answer that wretched phone all day long, and not one of the calls was for me.
Ah, that's what comes of being unpopular.
Now, let me see. The Lady Mayoress phone, she wants you to judge the cat show this year.
Does she really? We may as well enter our three, then.
And Naomi Mellinger phone, she's going to pop round tomorrow morning to talk about the Harvest Festival.
Oh, dear.
What's the matter?
I won't be here tomorrow.
Oh, well, it doesn't matter. She said if tomorrow was inconvenient, she could make it Wednesday.
Oh, dear.
Well, what now?
Won't be here on Wednesday, either.
You're not emigrating, are
you? In fact, Evadne, I'm going to be out every day this week, as I'm pretty sure I told you, and if I didn't, I'm telling you now.
Every day this week?
Every single day, dear.
Hilda, I don't wish to pry into your private affairs, and you don't have to tell me if you don't want to.
Right, that's that, then.
Are you going to be out all day, every day?
All day, every day, dear, but don't worry. I've told Maud she's to look after you.
You can tell Maud to stay at home.
Well, I thought she'd be a bit of company for you, dear.
If I want that sort of company, I can go to the zoo.
But Evadne, if I'm not here and Maud's not here, aren't you going to find it very quiet?
Hopefully, Hilda.
Yes.
Oh, heavens, not again. Hello, Stacton 295. This is an answering service. Dame Hilda is out all day today, but she'll be back sometime after 7 this evening. So will you please ring her then? Thank you. What? Oh, hello, Lorna. Yes, it's me. I've no idea where she is. She's been out all week. Well, I'm not her keeper. If I was, I'd have had her put down a long time ago. Yes, I know it's Thursday. And yes, I know she's usually in the cake shop on a Thursday morning. Wasn't she? Well, who knows? Perhaps she's joined Weight Watchers. Or found a cake shop where the cream buns are bigger.
Hello.
It's us.
Oh, sorry, Lorna. Those idiots, the Moors, are at the garden door. Hang on. I'll get rid of them. And, Lorna, hold the receiver away from your ear, dear. I'm going to shout. Dame Hilda's not here!
It doesn't matter, Doctor.
No, you'll do.
Oh, thank you very much. Sorry, Lorna. I'm going to have to see what the idiots want. Yes, I'll tell Hilda you phoned. All right. Bye-bye. Now...
Hello,
Doctor. Hello.
Peter, man. Sorry to keep you waiting, but I had that idiot Lorna Durrenforth on the phone. And what can I do for you two?
We won't keep you a moment, Doctor. We just wanted to give you this.
It's an invitation.
Oh, don't, P. You'll spoil the surprise. The doctor will find out what it is when she opens it, won't she?
I was only trying to save time. She doesn't need to open it now, does she?
Of course she does, P. If she doesn't open it now, how is she going to find out what it's an invitation to?
Well, I can tell her that as well, can't I? It's an invitation to us.
P, you're spoiling the surprise.
I think I'd better open this before the suspense kills me. Oh, I say, how intriguing. Peter and Mandy Moore invite blank to blank on blank... at blank. RSVP. It's a bit vague, isn't it?
Oh, P, you haven't filled it in.
Perhaps he used his invisible ink.
You didn't say anything about filling them in, dear. You simply handed me a pile of envelopes and a pile of invites and said, stick one of those in each of those and be quick about it, and I was.
You know, I sometimes think you're non-compos mentis.
What?
And stupid.
Oh.
The fact is, Doctor, we're having drinkies on Sunday morning.
And nibbles.
On the patio, if fine.
In the rumpus room, if wet.
Nibbles in the rumpus room. I say that does sound decadent. I'm sure Hilda will love it.
Oh. Funnily enough, we saw Dame Hilda in town yesterday.
Oh, did you? Where?
Well, she was having lunch in that little Italian restaurant next to the bookshop. Wasn't she, P?
That's right, she was. She was having lunch there on Tuesday when we passed as well.
P's office is near there, you see, and I've been meeting him in his lunch hour and taking him shopping. But he's got a day off work today, haven't you, P?
That's right, so I'm taking Dee shopping instead.
Hilda didn't say she'd seen you?
I don't think she did see us. She seemed far too preoccupied with her gentleman friend. And we didn't like to bang on the window.
Her gentleman friend?
Well, we can't swear he's a gentleman, but they certainly seem friendly.
Oh, very friendly. Very close.
Very chummy. They were sitting so close together yesterday, they were eating the same stick of celery.
Intimate. That's the word I'd use.
I say, steady on, old girl.
What exactly does he look like, this intimate gentleman friend of hers?
Well, we didn't really get much of a look at him. We didn't like to stand staring in for too long.
No, we couldn't anyway, once the waiter had drawn the curtains.
He's about 50, I'd say. Sleek black hair, little moustache, smartly dressed, wears a rose in his buttonhole, chunky gold cufflinks and a polka dot bow tie. Apart from that, I couldn't really tell you.
Well, that certainly doesn't sound like anybody I know. Hadn't we better have a cup of coffee and a little chat?
Well, I must say, Roberto, that was another delightful little luncheon. I'm going to miss my lunches next week.
Do you know, you have really told me very little about your home life. About your friend, Evadne.
Well, I don't want to bore you. I much prefer to talk about La Bella Italia.
But all week over lunch we talk about my country.
Well, as I told you, dear, I look upon Italy with great affection, having spent so much time there and in my formative years.
Tell me, how long exactly did you live there?
Oh, about 3 years, studying and touring. Did I tell you I had to be smuggled out in a laundry basket?
Why, no. You told me only of the audiences that threw flowers at you. You said nothing of the hostile ones.
No, no. No, dear, no. No, it wasn't because of the audiences. It was because of Mussolini.
Mussolini did not like your singing?
Well, Mussolini loved it. That was the trouble. You see, war broke out, and Mussolini took one look at my Tosca and wanted to hang on to me for the duration. He was probably trying to save me from falling into the hands of Enza.
You know, I could listen to you for hours.
And that's another reason why lunch won't be the same next week. Evadne never listens to a word I say.
I tell you what, Hilda. At the end of October, I go home to Napoli for a few weeks. Come with me.
What?
Come with me to Napoli. I could give you a holiday to remember.
I bet you could.
And you will come?
Oh, Roberto, if only. But alas, I can't leave Evadne. She's totally dependent on me. She can't do a thing for herself.
She's very sick?
No, she's very old.
Then bring her with you. The holiday will do her good. The poor old lady can doze in a deck chair while we two gallivant.
Oh, we'd never get her onto an aircraft. Not with her gammy legs and her sticks. And, of course, her terrible fear of flying.
Ah, well, perhaps one day. But if I cannot tempt you to Napoli, perhaps I can at least tempt you to a dessert.
Well, you can try.
Then how does the torta di albicocchi con zabaglione al amaretto sound to you, eh?
Tempting. But what is it?
Waiter!
Signore.
Luigi, will you please tell the signorina how Giulio makes his torta di albicocchi con zabaglione alla amaretto?
Sì, signore. You see, signorina, first they make a rich, crumbly pastry using the eggs, cream, and a generous dash of amaretto liqueur.
Amaretto liqueur.
On to this, then. He piles fresh apricots, wild strawberries, and crystallized violets.
Con amore, made with love.
Goodness gracious me.
And finally he bathes the whole creation in zabalion, a delicious and eddy froth of eggs, whisked with sugar and sweet wine. In this case, more amaretta liqueur.
Ah, zabaglione. Benissimo.
Gosh, sounds absolutely delicious.
That is a settle, then. Una torta di albicocchi con zabaglione all'amaretto, per favore, Luigi.
No, I mustn't. I really mustn't.
But sure.
No, I must be firm. Not at lunchtime, no.
Oh, signorina, please.
Well, you couldn't pop it into a little box for me, could you? Just so that I could take it away for later.
Oh, si, signorina. In a box.
And I was beginning to think that I had lost my power to charm.
Never, Roberto, never. Why, say, just look at the time. I must be getting along. Pick up my box for me, would you? I'll see you later. Ciao.
Ciao. Right, Luigi. I'll settle up this evening, eh?
Si, signore. And here is the signorina's little box.
Thank you, Luigi. We'll see you later.
Si, signore. Ciao. Giulio's Restaurante? Allo? Sì, signorina. I help if I can. What does your friend look like? Fluffy? Scusi, did you say Fluffy or Scroofy? Ah, Plompa. Sì. Well, I don't really know, signorina. That all depends on what you mean by silly act. Well, perhaps you could describe the gentleman, then. Oh, sì, that is Signor Roberto. No, they have just left, but they will be back about 6. Ah, they just like to relax over a glass of wine after work. If it is really that urgent, signorina, I suggest you go straight to the shop. Roberto's on Angel Hill. But it is where your friend is working, signorina. Sì, working. In Roberto's shoe shop. Shoes di Napoli.
There are times when I feel absolutely reckless. There are times when I feel that this can be.
Hello, Hilda.
Evadne, what are you doing here?
What are you doing here?
Oh, just looking at shoes, dear.
Well, have you been here long?
Not very long, no.
Isn't there anybody serving?
Oh, yes, there is.
Well, where are they?
Oh, they're about.
Well, let's get some service, shall we?
Shop!
We want some service, don't we, Hilda? Shop!
Miss Brackett, are you there?
Yes, it's all right, Mr. Roberto, I'm here. Miss Brackett?
Well, one doesn't want to make the customers feel inferior, dear.
Customers?
Oh, all right. And now you know, don't you? So you can wipe that silly smirk off your face and go home.
Not until you tell me what you're doing here.
I'll tell you that when I get home. I'm paid to sell shoes, not to stand around gossiping.
Very well, then.
What are you sitting down for?
I'm going to buy a pair of shoes.
Oh, don't be ridiculous, Evadne. If you want shoes, go where you usually go, to the government surplus stores.
You were saying just last week that I needed a decent pair.
Well, that is true. What sort of thing do you want?
Well, something like these I'm wearing.
Oh, we don't stock hobnail boots.
Don't you sell a plain brogue?
Of course we do.
Well, I'd like to try on a pair.
Well, I'll see what we have in your size.
And while you're looking, you can tell me what you're doing here.
Oh, very well. Well, it was last Saturday, you remember, I popped into town to collect my new spectacles.
Yes?
Well, on the way back from the optician's to the car park, I just happened to glance in the window here.
You just glanced?
All right, I looked. Well, I had to make sure I could see properly with my new spectacles, didn't I? Anyway, there was this absolutely exquisite pair of shoes.
And how long exactly did you stand looking at them?
Evadne, I will not be cross-examined.
All this time, I was at home trying to keep your lunch warm.
You could have let it go cold for all I cared, you and your herbal waffles.
You didn't have to eat them.
Then why didn't you say so at the time? Anyway, to return to my story. I was standing there wondering how I could possibly afford these shoes when Cynthia Woolcott, who works here, you know her, she's in the WI. Well, she saw me out there and she rushed out and she dragged me in and she said I was the answer to her prayers.
I always thought she was a bit funny.
And as it turned out, she was the answer to mine. You see, she wanted to take this week off, and Mr. Roberto said she could if she could find a suitable stand-in.
Well, why on earth didn't you tell me all this on Saturday?
Well, I was going to, but you started going on about how big the electricity bill was going to be because you had to keep my lunch warm, and how we were going to have to economize, and I just thought, well, that wasn't the best moment to say anything about spending £145 on a pair of shoes.
£145?
Well, they are hand-sewn Italian calfskin, dear.
I don't care if they're hand-cut crystal. £145 would more than have paid the electricity bill.
And that's another reason for not telling you. I'm blowed if I was going to work a whole week just to pay a rotten old electricity bill.
And then perhaps in future you'll refrain from using the rotten old electricity.
And that's the third reason for not telling you. I knew you'd go on. Anyway, what with my wages and my staff discount, those shoes will cost me practically nothing.
How much?
Ah, here we are, brogues. These are your size, and they're only £23.
I can't afford new shoes now. One of us has got to behave responsibly.
Evadne, we have just paid our electricity bill, and I gave you my half. So what I do with the rest of my money has really nothing to do with you. Anyway, I've worked for those shoes. I've worked jolly hard. I've left home every morning at the crack of dawn, and I've not returned home till dark.
As far as I can ascertain, you spent a good deal of your 12-hour day having lunch and drinkies after work.
Well, you know what they say about Jack.
Jack who?
All work and no play, Jack. Oh. He was reputedly a very dull boy, and I know who he took after. Now, do you want to buy these shoes or not?
Well, I shall want to try them on first.
Oh, well, go on then. Who's stopping you?
Hilda, the last time I was in a shoe shop, the assistant got down on her knees, removed one of my old shoes, and gently eased my foot into one of the new ones.
Ah, well, the last time you were in a shoe shop, they still had slavery.
Perhaps your boss would be more helpful. Mr. Roberto!
Not coming.
There's no need, Mr. Roberto. It's all right.
All right, then, Evander, give me your foot.
There, how does that feel?
Hard to tell with your finger stuck in the back.
Then lift your heel up and I'll take it out.
How am I supposed to get my heel back in again?
If ever you're going to have to do something for yourself. After all, you won't always have me and my finger to rely on.
You think that a shop as expensive as this would be able to run to a shoehorn?
And what do you think this is hanging round my waist?
Now, why don't you use it?
Because the cord's too short.
Which obviously means that your waist is too large.
It means nothing of the sort. It means I've got it knotted in the wrong place and I can't unknot it.
Here, let me try.
If any customers are not permitted to handle the staff.
Mr. Brackett, could I please have a word?
Certainly, Mr. Roberto. Perhaps Madam would like to walk about a bit and see how those feel.
Don't you worry. Madam was going to...
Now, Mr. Roberto.
Are you having trouble with that customer?
Well, a bit, but nothing I can't handle.
Why don't you go into the office, make yourself a cup of tea, and leave her to me?
No, no, I can manage her.
I'm sure you can, but I have had a good deal more experience with awkward customers, so I will deal with her.
May the best man win.
Oh. Now, madame.
I am not a madame. I am a doctor.
Ah, I see, a doctor. And you are looking for something sensible to walk the hospital wards in, yes?
I'm a doctor of music.
Ah, doctor of music. Mm. And you are looking for something sensible to march with the band in, yes?
I'm just looking for something sensible, and I've obviously come to the wrong shop. Hilda!
Miss Brackett is having her tea break.
Well, she can jolly well stop having her tea break and do a bit of work for a change. After all, she's just had her lunch, and it's only a couple of hours to drinkie's time. Hilda!
Evadne, you must stop shouting.
Evadne?
Yes, Mr. Roberto, this is my friend, Dr. Evadne Hinge. It's the one I've told you so much about.
But the gammy legs, the sticks...
What gammy legs?
What have you been saying about me, Hilda?
Do you want those shoes or not?
Yes, when you've told me what you've been saying.
Then give me your money, thank you, and I'll pop them in a bag for you.
Just a minute, Hilda.
So you're the famous Dr. Hinge. I am delighted to make your acquaintance, Signorina.
Thank you.
As you may have gathered, you are not at all as I had pictured you.
The first thing one learns about Hilda, Signor Roberto, is never to believe a single word she says.
There you are, Evadne. I'll see you later.
Yes. I'll be waiting for you.
I fancy your friend is not very pleased with you, Hilda.
I fancy she isn't.
So what are you smiling about?
Well, I just wish I could see Evadne's face when she gets home and discovers that she's paid £23 for a slice of torta di albacoque con zabaglione al amaretto.